Welcome to the Compass Podcast, featuring Chris Shandro and the Compass team. We hope this message is just for you.
All right, well, good morning. Hey, I want to start off today by just telling you a little bit about myself as a child. Okay, now what I'm going to tell you is probably something that may be familiar to all of you as well. This may have been something that you experienced as a child as well, but when I was a kid, I just wanted to play guitar, okay? Because you'd see these people in the music videos, and like, back in the day, dude, maybe you're my age, back in the day, Friday Night Videos. Anybody remember Friday Night Videos? Right? The only time you're going to see a music video, and I'm like watching like Cinderella and Rat, you know, all these like hair bands. It was awesome. And I just wanted to be one of these dudes in a hair bands. Makeup, hair, the whole nine yards. I don't even care. I wanted to be that. And so playing guitar was just this dream, and I always wanted to do it. And so I did what many kids would do, and I got one of these. And what I would do is I would get in the living room, right? And at the time, I would watch Friday Night Videos, but I didn't have, like, metal music when I was a kid. So I had Weird Al Yankovic on cassettes. And so I would put in my Weird Al cassettes, and I'd pop it in, and I would just sit in the living room when no one was around, and I would just, like, play the guitar. And no joke, I would, like, work the neck of the broom. Like, so I'd come up here for solos up high on the fretboard of the broom and then walk it back down for, like, chords. I mean, I rocked this broom when I was a kid because I wanted to be the greatest guitar player ever. I mean, I used the broom a lot. Now, to my wife and my mom both probably wished that I would have used the broom for the purpose that it was created for more than I used it for guitar, but that never happened. This was, like, my guitar. But here's the thing about the broom, right? Is that the purpose for something matters. Like, the reason it was created, what it was designed for, actually, you know, matters. And so this was never a guitar. It never played sweet jams for me. I never, you know, was rocking like the Sweet Child of Mine solo. That just never happened on this thing. It's a broom. It was meant to be cleaned. And here's the thing that a thing is made for is the important thing, right? Purpose matters. The reason something is created, what it's designed for, matters. And when something is fulfilling its purpose, when something like a broom is sweeping up the front of the stage, when it's doing what it was designed for, it's effective. When it's not doing what it's designed for, it's ineffective. So check this out. Effective. Ineffective. So, I mean, imagine, let's talk about ineffective. Imagine if our worship team showed up on Sunday and instead of guitars, they're all just rocking brooms. Right. Like, Kevin, you need to work on your broom solo, dude. It's not coming together. Everything has a purpose, and everyone has a purpose too. You have a purpose. You have a designed function, something you were created to do. It's a greater calling that God placed on your life, and he created us for. And what's interesting is each of us has a unique and individual purpose and an individual calling. And yet it's still part of a bigger universal purpose. Every single one of us has that in our lives. And in order for us to live the best life that we possibly can, we have to live according to the purpose that we were created to live for. We have to live out our designed function. We have to live out the reason we were created. And so we have to figure out what is that boiled down purpose for our lives. And that's what we really want to talk about in this brand new message series that we're talking about called Access 100. And that's this: what is God's boiled down purpose for your life? And what is God's boiled down purpose for our church? Now, this message series, Access 100, that we're starting today, I said this last week, this could be one of the most important message series that we have all year. This is going to be crucial because it's a message series that really is about our church. This is a message series that's about us. It's about Compass, and it's about each and every single one of us who are part of Compass and how we make up the body of Christ here at the church. And so to start this off, there's a question that I want to ask, and I'd like you to think about for a second. And that question is this: why does Compass exist? Why does our church exist? Why do we need to be here? What purpose were we created for? Now, I know that even as I put that out, you're thinking about it, right? And what's interesting is there's a bunch of different ideas that are popping into minds right now. Let me kind of illustrate this a little bit. So I drive a Jeep Compass, okay? And if you were to ask Chris, why do you drive a Jeep Compass?
there's a bunch of great answers that you could give. The first is it's a four-wheel drive. I wanted a four-wheel drive. Another one is that it's got a lot of hatch space. It's, you know, it's a very roomy vehicle. Another answer is that you could say that it's named Compass. It's okay, so there's some like neat synergy there that I thought was awesome. Those are all like totally valid answers. And if I asked you why you drove a Jeep Compass, you might say any number of those things. The real reason I drive a Jeep Compass is that I think it looks cool. And that by virtue of the transitive property, I think it's going to make me look cool. So there's all sorts of reasons why I might drive a Jeep Compass, and there's all sorts of reasons that we may have as to why Compass Church exists. You know, you may be thinking, maybe Compass Church exists for you as a safe place where you can come and just have community. Maybe Compass Church exists for some of you because, you know, it needs to be here to serve the needy in our community. There's all sorts of reasons that we could think of to say, this is why Compass Church is here. But even though there's all sorts of possible answers for why we exist, the problem with that is this, is that if there's all sorts of different possibilities that we are thinking of when we think of why our church is here, why it exists, and there's all sorts of different tracks and routes and roads that we could walk down, a bunch of different answers to the questions of why we exist, and if we aren't aligned behind God's actual purpose for us as a church, if we aren't aligned behind that one real thing that he has for us, then that means this. It means that we're not going to be as effective as we need to be. It means this, that we're going to be up here playing a broom instead of a guitar because we're not aligned behind the purpose that we were created to be aligned behind. And so that's what this is all about. That's what this message series is all about. And it's so crucial for us to understand, why are we here? Why does Compass need to be a church in Bloomington Normal? And if we can align behind God's purpose, then we can begin to see amazing things happen as we become really and truly effective. Now, Jesus was a guy who understood purpose. He totally got his purpose. And Jesus's thing was this. He was totally aligned with God's will and God's plan for his life and what God the Father wanted him to do. And in Jesus's alignment with his purpose, he gives us some instruction and insight into how we can both discover our purpose and how we can live out the purpose that he's laid out for us. And instruction really into why Compass Church exists. Why God created Compass Church, why he planted it and stuck it here in the middle of Bloomington Normal. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at a little passage, a little story out of the life of Jesus, starting in Matthew chapter 9. And we're going to start off just hearing some of the things that Jesus is doing and that he teaches to get a broad picture of what he's doing. So Matthew 9:35, it starts this way. It says that Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. So, okay, in this, we have a snapshot of Jesus's ministry. And really, this is what Jesus did. And if you boil down everything, all Jesus's ministry, you boil it down into just a couple sentences, this is it. Jesus traveled around and he taught about the kingdom of God. He announced the kingdom and he taught people about it. And he went and he healed people. And he ministered to people who were weak and who were hurting and broken. So he announced the kingdom of God and he ministered to people who were hurting and broken. That's what Jesus did. So that's the what of Jesus's purpose. But let's take a look at the why. Matthew 9:36. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into the field." So the what of Jesus's ministry? He went, he announced the kingdom of God. He taught people about God. And then he ministered to people who were weak and hurting and broken. But the why, the underlying why is found right in this passage. And it's this, that Jesus was moved. He was moved by the spiritual brokenness of the people that he saw around him. Jesus looked out on the crowds of people who he saw from town to town and from village to village, and his heart was broken with compassion. He was moved because in them he saw this spiritual brokenness, an emptiness, a separation between them and God. And he saw they don't know God. And not only did he see this like spiritual separation, the spiritual brokenness in their lives, but he saw that they were helpless to do anything about it. I mean, he looked at them, and he describes them as sheep without a shepherd. They're just wandering around aimlessly, and there's nothing they can do to find their way to God on their own unless there's a shepherd who can guide them. And it broke his heart. And because Jesus, he looked out on people who were lost, who were broken, and who were hurting, separated from God. And because he saw in them that there was this helplessness, this inability to find their way back to him, it moved him to act in the purpose that God laid out for him. Here's what Jesus saw when he looked out at the people. He saw people who didn't have access to God. He saw people who didn't have access to God. And at the center of the ministry, of Jesus's ministry, was this desire to both in himself to go and give those people access to God. And we see in Jesus a desire to take his followers and to use them and send them out so that they could give those people access to God as well. Now here's the thing, this is big, okay? This is Jesus's core heart, his core purpose, right? He saw people who didn't have access to God, and he was moved with compassion to go and help them find a way to God. And this is so big because if this is Jesus' purposes, as followers of Jesus, as Christians, as people who model our lives after his, then we can find our purpose as well in this. So why does Compass exist? What are we supposed to be all about? What is our purpose? Well, here it is. This is our purpose. It's making God accessible to everyone. Our purpose, boiled down, stripped down, peel everything away. Our purpose, modeled after Jesus, modeled after his purpose, his desire, his desperate, you know, need to go out and connect people to God is this. It was a desire to make God accessible to people. Jesus looked out over the city of people, and he saw that they were hurting and broken, and his heart was broken when he saw people. And he saw that they didn't have access to God, and they were helpless to find it on their own. He saw they didn't have a road map to the Father, and there was no map that they could ever find on their own. There was no one for them who could open the right doors. You know, there was no one for them who could wade into that harvest field and then guide people to God the Father. And when Jesus saw this, it drove him and it motivated him. And what did he do? He traveled from town to town and he announced the kingdom of God. He taught people about God the Father, and he ministered to people who were weak and broken. And he did it. Why? Because he wanted to make God accessible to everyone. Here's what's interesting, though, to talk about access, right? Because we live in an information society. Like, you guys could literally pull out your phones right now. This is what's like both great and awful about being a pastor of a church, is no matter what I say, like 50 years ago, you're going to go home and you're going to go, man, if Pastor Chris said we should only drink grape Kool-Aid for the rest of our lives, and that's in the Bible, I guess he's probably right. We should do that. Get the grape Kool-Aid, honey. You know, that was like 50 years ago. Now, if I'm like, guys, we need to drink grape Kool-Aid to honor God, literally all of you are pulling your phones out and you're Googling, grape Kool-Aid? I don't know about this, Chris. Okay, this is what, no. Like, I'm spot checked. Like, I'm fact checked in the moment, real time, right? And so I know that. And we live in an information society where information is so easily accessible. And that means this. That means any information you want about any question that you have about God or the Bible is literally a Google search away. Anything you want to know about Jesus, and you could pop open the YouVersion app and you could find everything you want in the Bible. Everything that you want to know about religion, about the Bible, about Jesus, about God, about what people think about it is available on the internet. It's just all there. But here's the thing. Information doesn't equal access. Our world has all the information they need about Jesus, all the information they need about God, but information isn't the same as access. And if information isn't access, right? If information is not the thing that creates the access, what is? If our mission, if our purpose is about making God accessible to everyone, right? And it's not just like sending him to a website, look that up, and then your access to God is there. You know, then what is it? Because, I mean, look, back in Jesus's day, there were religious rulers and religious teachers, right? And the Jewish establishment, they were all about information. Their kids, their elite kids who were educated and who were gonna grow into becoming religious experts and teachers themselves, dude, those kids by like age 10 had the first five books of the Old Testament memorized. And there is some boring stuff in the first five books of the Bible, okay? Lists of names and laws and rules and regulations, and they had it memorized. They had the information. But when Jesus looked out on those people, his heart was broken because it wasn't about information. It was about access to God. So if information isn't access, then what is? What is access? And we can find the answer here in Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to pop out of Matthew for a second. This is what the Apostle Paul says about access to God. And he's talking about Jesus here. He says, he, Jesus, came and he preached peace to you who were far away, to people who had literally no access to God, no information even, and peace to those who were near, people who had more access and more information. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. So access to God, access, it's not about information. Access to God comes through Jesus. It's through experiencing and knowing him. And, you know, some of you guys can relate to this because, you know, maybe you're like me and you grew up in church. You grew up in church environments. Maybe you grew up in the Catholic Church. And catechism, is that what it's called? Somebody help me. Okay, I don't want to get my info wrong because I know I'm going to get fact-checked as live. But I mean, there's all these things when you grow up in church that are designed to teach you the information about knowing God. And I grew up like that. And maybe some of you guys grew up like that too. But for every single one of us who grew up in that environment, there was still a moment in our lives where we had to come to grips with the reality of who Jesus is and what our relationship to him is going to be like, what he's going to be in our lives. And I mean, that you may still be in this room right now and you know, you grew up, you know the information, you've heard it all. You Google searched it before you came to Compass because you wanted to know what you were gonna expect today. You know, the information is available, but for you, there's never been a moment where the reality of experiencing Jesus has ever happened. Information is an access, it's an experience, an encounter, and knowing Jesus that is access. But for us as Compass, and this is just the reality of our world, Jesus isn't here right now. I mean, at least not physically like he was 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, Jesus looks out over the crowds and his heart breaks. He has compassion for them because they're helpless and they just need access to God. And Jesus rolls up his sleeves and he wades out into the crowds and he's like, okay, guys, I'm gonna start giving you access right now. But Jesus isn't here. I mean, Jesus isn't here to teach in front of us. Jesus isn't greeting people at our door. You know, Jesus is not teaching kids in Compass Kids right now. And Jesus isn't part of, you know, our ministry teams who are going to help fix up foster care, the homes of people who are working in the foster care system. You know, Jesus is not physically here to do those things, but we are. Jesus isn't physically here to give people access to God anymore, but we are. And here's what is so cool about how God describes and defines us as the church. He calls us what? He calls us the body of Christ. So Jesus isn't here physically, but he says he is because he says that we are Jesus's physical representation. We are Jesus's body in Bloomington Normal. So if there's someone who needs Jesus to reach out and give them a hand up, guess whose hands he's gonna use? Yours and mine. If there's someone who Jesus needs to tell about God, to talk about God's plan and purpose for his life, Jesus can't use his physical mouth because there's no physical mouth of Jesus here. You know whose mouth Jesus is gonna use? He's gonna use yours. We are Jesus's body. We are Jesus's hands and feet. We're the image and reflection of Jesus in our community. So when people see Jesus, it's not like the guy with the wavy hair and the nice soft smile and the beard looking pleasantly, you know, at us. Or I mean, you know, maybe you're like the black Jesus, the Jesus with the afro, maybe that's your Jesus. You know, that's not Jesus that people are gonna see in our community. You know who he's gonna see? He's gonna see, you know, bald, pasty, white, dorky me, you know? And he's gonna see super good looking, fashionable, dreamy you. We are, you got that? You're like, thanks, Chris. We are Jesus in our community. And that means this, is that since Jesus is access to the Father, Jesus is that access to God, then our responsibility in making God accessible to people is in making Jesus accessible to people. And so here's what I want to do. This is everything for us as a church, okay? Like, moving forward, this is like when you're like, hey, what do you do at Compass? Oh, we make God accessible to everyone. Oh, yeah? Well, what are you all about? I mean, what are your values? Oh, making God accessible to everyone. Oh, that's cool. So, I mean, what do you guys like to do as a church? Oh, we like to make God accessible to everyone. Real? Okay, that's cool. So, I mean, what do you, you know, what kind of TV shows do you watch? TV shows that are about making God accessible to everyone. I don't know if that's even a thing, but I would try it if it was, because that's how important this is as our purpose, as our value. And so here's what I want to do. I want to kind of describe what Jesus means for us when he says that, because this is kind of the what and the why. You know, we do this because it's Jesus's heart, it's God's heart, and we do it because people are lost and helpless on their own, and they need access, and they can't find it on their own. We're God's purpose, we're his plan to do this, okay? And so Jesus, he kind of shows us the how in Matthew chapter 10. So right after he looks out on the cities, and he talks about how much his heart is broken, and he just wishes there were workers who could go out. In the next couple verses, this is what Jesus does. In Matthew 10, verse 5, Jesus sent out the 12 apostles. Jesus sent out the 12 apostles. Okay, so there's a couple things. This is the how. This is the how we live out our purpose of making God accessible to everyone. And the first is that you just go, okay? We are Jesus's representation. We are his representatives. We are his body in this world. And if we don't go, nobody's gonna do it. So Jesus says to us, go. And literally what this is, it's like Jesus saying, okay, this was my responsibility, but now I'm giving it to you. This is your task, your purpose, your goal, your responsibility. Go. He continues in Matthew 10, 5. Jesus sent out the 12 apostles with these instructions. He says, don't go to the Gentiles or to the Samaritans, but only to the people of Israel, God's lost sheep. Okay, so let me explain this and clarify this just a little bit. At the time, Jesus's ministry was very specific. When Jesus was here, his goal was to connect to the Jewish audience, the people who he had grown up with. I mean, Jesus was Jewish himself. And so Jesus, his mission to start with was to reach a specific group of people who he was surrounded with. And when he sent out his disciples, he didn't just say go, he said this. He said, go to the people that I have assigned you. Go to the people that I have assigned you. Check this out. You don't personally have to make God accessible to everyone. Okay, because, I mean, some of you even heard that, like, thing, that purpose statement. You're like, how am I possibly going to do that? You know, because I don't know Lady Gaga. Or like Mitch said last week, I don't think it's likely I'm going to really know Kanye West. I don't know how I'm just, maybe I could tweet him or something, but I doubt he's going to respond. How are we possibly going to reach everyone? Well, guess what? You don't have to. You don't have to reach everyone. You have to reach the people that God has assigned you to reach. You see, God doesn't assign you to everyone. He assigned you to a specific group. And you know those people are? You work with them. You go to school with them. You live with them. You know, they're the people who you work out with. They're the people that you spend time with. They're the people that you think about, that you're connected to. And so, I mean, the question of who is my specific group? Who are you connected to? Who are you passionate about? You know, God didn't call me to reach the people who you eat lunch with every day. He called you to reach the people who you eat lunch with every day. That's why you eat lunch with them every day. I'll reach the people I eat lunch with every day. God assigned each and every single one of us our own group, our own specific people group who he wants us to reach and he wants us to connect with. And our church, as Compass Church, he's assigned us to reach a specific people group. He assigned us to Bloomington Normal, to this community, to the 150, 60,000 people in the surrounding areas who need to hear about Jesus. He's assigned us to this group. And not only that, he's assigned us to the people who our missionaries connect with, the missionaries who we support, our missionaries who literally are the extension of our ministry. He's assigned us to reach them. Now, we may not reach them one-on-one, but we reach them by supporting the people who are part of our ministries, who are going to connect with them. That's God sent us to go. And he sent us to go and reach a specific people group. There's a people who a group he's assigned you to. So Jesus says, he says, go. He says, reach the people I've assigned you to reach. And then Matthew 10, 7 says this, go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. okay, so we've got the, you know, you got the deal where it's like, this is what we do, we go. And then this is who we go to. It's the people who God's assigned to us, the people around us, the people who are easily accessible to us. And then go finally and announce the kingdom of God. And it's just, it's go and tell them about Jesus. So this is, I mean, this is simple, right? Making God accessible to everyone sounds like this big, scary, horrible thing. But when you break it down, he's saying, just go to the people around you, to the people I've placed you with, to the people you have influence with, and just tell them about Jesus. Our last message series, Multiply, was really all about this and maybe trying to equip you with better ways to communicate to people about Jesus and your relationship with him. But Jesus is saying, just go and talk about me. Tell them about me. Tell them about the kingdom of God and what it's done in your life and what I want to do in their lives. So go to your assigned people group and go and tell them about Jesus. And then it continues on in Matthew 10:8. Jesus' instructions to his disciples who he's sending. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. Like, okay, Jesus, like, first of all, like, I don't even know where to find a demon, and, like, I don't want to be hanging around, like, the morgue, you know, just waiting for people to come in and say, can I just have a shot? Raise from the dead, please. Oh, shoot. You know, that's not a thing that, like, I think about, but think about how Jesus lived, and think about what Jesus is trying to communicate to his disciples when he sends them out. What did Jesus do? Jesus announced the kingdom of God. He went, he sends his disciples, says, you go. He announced the kingdom of God. He tells his disciples, announce the kingdom of God. Tell them about me, tell them about the Father. And Jesus served people who were weak and hurting and broken. And when Jesus says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons, he's saying this. He's saying, go with demonstrations of God's mercy. And go in demonstrations of God's mercy with demonstrations of God's power. See, here's the thing. This is so cool. Jesus needs us to communicate to people about him. He needs us to announce the kingdom of God. But there's this expectation that it's not just things that we say, that it's a way we live, and it's a way that we love, and it's a way that we interact with people. And the way that he's called us to interact with people is this. He's called us to demonstrate the mercy of God to people who are weak, to people who are hurting, to people who are broken. Who are the weakest in our community? Who are the people who have nothing? Who are the people who maybe feel like they have the least access in the world? They have no access to God because not only do they have no resources, no money, but they have a family that's falling apart. They have sickness and illness that they're struggling with. They have strapping financial debt. There's just no hope for them. They're hopeless because they are just, they're broken and they're at the bottom of the barrel. And Jesus says this, go to those people and demonstrate my mercy to them. But here's what's so cool, because Jesus says, like, raise them from the dead, heal people who are sick, you know, cast out demons. I mean, that's crazy stuff. But here's the thing Jesus wants us to know is that when we go and demonstrate his mercy, he gives us his power to do it with. He equips us with his strength. He equips us with his power. We tell people about Jesus and what he did, and he ministered to the weak, the hurting, and the broken. And when we do that, we can expect God's power to go before us, and we can expect God's power to move in our lives. Anybody want to see, like, God's power in their life? Anybody want to see, like, something miraculous? Has that ever been just something you're like, I would love to see that? Like, I want to see it. And now, maybe not today, but, like, I want to see someone, like, die right there, and then we pray for them, and then they raise from the dead. I mean, how cool would that be? Maybe not super cool here in this environment, but how awesome would that be to see someone who's sick healed, to see God move in a powerful way in someone's life as we demonstrate mercy to them? How cool would it be if we went and remodeled another foster parent's home who has no money and resources, and as we're doing that, we're talking to them about Jesus, and they tell us that they have something that's physically wrong with them, or a grandmother who's watching her grandchildren and is fostering them, and she can't do anything about it, and she's stuck in a wheelchair, and we say, you know what? Let's stop doing drywall. Let's lay hands on this woman. Let's pray for her, and we see that woman get up out of a chair. How cool would that be? But man, guess what? That happens. That doesn't happen because we're like, I want to go do miracle stuff. Let's go do miracle stuff. It happens when we say, I want to go do mercy stuff. It happens when we say, I want to go lift up someone who's hurting and broken and pick them up. And when we do that, that's when God's power moves. That's when Jesus says, you can heal the sick. You can raise the dead. And can I just tell you? I mean, I think it'd be cool to see someone raised from the dead. I want to see people who are spiritually dead raised to life. I want to see people who are just so far from God and so broken and so desperate that they have no spiritual life in them at all, and see God touch them and see Jesus come into their lives and raise them to the life that I know because I know Jesus, and the life that you know because you know Jesus. And man, God's power goes out when we demonstrate mercy. So Jesus, in sending out his disciples, in sending out his body to the world, us, he says, go. He says, go to the people who I've assigned you, because there's people who are around you that are just easy pickings. He says, go with demonstrations of mercy and demonstrations of mercy that I will equip with my power. And then he says one more thing in Matthew 10:8. He wraps up and he says this. He says, give as freely as you have received. And the final way that we go out in purpose and we live out our purpose of making God accessible to everyone is that we go open-handed. We go open-handed. How do we live as freely as we received? Jesus says, go. He says, give as freely as you've received. What does that look like? How do we give as freely as we have received from him? Well, okay, what have we received from God? Everything. So how do we give as freely as we received? We are willing to give everything. It's simple. It's scary, right? It's scary, but it's so simple. And it's the core of what living open-handed means. It means my hands are here. God, you put whatever you want in it, and I'm gonna leave them open so that then you can take out whatever you wanna take out. Jesus says, in order to make God accessible to everyone, we have to give and live open-handed. It's a necessity. It has to happen. And if we are unwilling to do that, we can't make him accessible to people who don't have access. It won't happen. It can't happen. God calls us to give as freely as we've received by being willing to give literally everything that we have. When I have an attitude and a posture that says, God, everything in my hands, you can take it for the purpose of giving people access to you. And here's the bottom line. Like, the bottom line of this is here. Jesus he goes through these instructions for his disciples when he's sending them out, which are his instructions to us as he sends us out. And this is the last thing that he says, just an encouragement. And for us, I think this is this is the heart of what it means to make God accessible to everyone in Matthew 10:40. Anyone who receives you receives me. And anyone who receives me receives the Father who sent me. We're Jesus's ambassadors, we're his representatives. Anyone who receives us, who receives us announcing the kingdom of God, who receives the demonstrations of mercy in response to that, and their soul and their spirit cries out and connects to it, they're receiving Jesus. And when they receive Jesus, they're getting access to God the Father. So in my house, we have our game system is downstairs in the living room, right? And our Wi-Fi is up in my bedroom because I wanna have the best Wi-Fi in the house. That's just a fact. So that's where the Wi-Fi is. And so there's this weird dead spot in our living room where the game system is. And it's like the circle of Wi-Fi goes out, but then there's this weird corner in our living room where the signal really stinks. And the kids hate it because the game system has a really hard time connecting to Wi-Fi. And so sometimes, we'll hear game remotes being thrown to the ground and, sassafras and fress and, whatever the clean swear words that were in cartoons when we were kids, that type of thing. You'll hear that, from my children sometimes because the Wi-Fi is so terrible down there. So what we need to do, what we're planning on doing, is we need to get another router that we can set up downstairs. And it's a signal repeater. And so what it will do is we'll plug it in a place where it can get the Wi-Fi signal from my bedroom. It can connect that, and then it can rebroadcast that. And when it rebroadcasts that signal out, my kids will be able to have better Wi-Fi, and they won't be throwing and breaking their expensive electronics, out of anger and rage. So once that happens, that signal will be rebroadcast and sent out again. And that is a perfect example. It's a perfect illustration of what Jesus intends for us to be. We are repeaters of his signal. And there are people in our world, they don't have access to God's Wi-Fi. You know, they're sitting outside of the signal ratio and they're helpless and they can't get there on their own. And Jesus says, I want you to go and I want you to be a signal repeater. I want you to take my signal and I want you to move it closer to those people. And when it gets closer to those people, that access can spread around and they now have access to you. And when they have access to you and they receive you and what you're doing to connect them to me, they receive me. And when they receive me, the access that they've needed to the Father is guaranteed, and they can know God. This is it for us as a church. It's what we're all about, and it's what we're gonna be all about. And here's the thing, for you as part of Compass, you stay around long enough, this is what God's gonna make you all about, making God accessible to everyone. You are an access point to people who don't know Jesus. You know, we pray, God, I pray that you just open a door to my friend so that they can find you and know you, God. And well, guess what? You're the door. Some of us, like, this is funny. Some of us pray this prayer. God, I just pray that you would bring someone into my friend's life who can just tell them about you, Jesus. And just, oh God, just someone who can just guide them to you. Well, dummy, it's you. You are the access point that God sent. You are the body of Christ. Jesus isn't here physically, but you are. I am, we are, and this is what it's all about. And so for us, it's time now for us to find this clarity in our purpose and embrace it. This is our function. This is what we were designed to do, to make God accessible to everyone. It's time for us to live in that function and serve that function and not to live outside of it anymore. This is our purpose. I want to use the broom as a broom and use the guitar as a guitar. I don't want to play broom guitar anymore with my life and with our church. It's time for us to embrace what God designed us to do as a church and as individuals, and it's making God accessible to everyone. Let me pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the truth of this word, and I thank you, God, that it's something that is, again, it's both a universal thing that you've called all believers to, but yet I know this for us as a church, that this is something that's very specific to us. And Lord, while I know that other churches may not look at this and find the exact same purpose and the exact same function for what you designed them to do, I know that this is ours. And so Lord, I pray that you would give us a burden and a desire to make you accessible to the people in our lives, to the people you've called us to. I pray that we would go and we would demonstrate mercy to people who are hurting and broken. I ask, God, that as we do that, as we do demonstrate that mercy, I ask that your power would fill us and anoint us. And the Lord, you would let our eyes see things that we never dreamed possible because we're fully walking in what you designed and created for us to do. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to go open-handed, giving as freely as we've received to support the mission, to support the vision that you have laid out before us, God. Whether that gift is financial, whether that gift is our time, our effort, our talent, we live with our hands open. We pray, Jesus, that you would let us be a church that accomplishes your dream for us in our community. And I pray this, Jesus, more than anything else, that we would make you accessible to people who don't have access or don't think they have access. And I pray that it would change our community. We pray in your name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us at Compass. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you have any questions about Compass or this message, contact us at our website, www.compassbn.com.